part here. I'm going to speak this morning. I've entitled message, Our Reasonable Service. I want to, while you're thinking about that, I also want to thank you for the opportunity to speak and our opportunity yesterday for the fantastic meal that we had and fellowship we had yesterday. I appreciate that a lot. When we talk about our reasonable service, there's certain things that we do that we have expectations in. Now, is anybody else here a bus driver, city bus driver? Good, because I'm safe to talk about them. You won't know for certain until I tell on myself. But have you ever gotten on a bus? How many, anybody ride buses here? Okay. Anybody have bad experiences on buses? Anybody have good experiences on buses? Oh, come on. Well, that just might... Okay, well, the fact is, let's take bus driving, for instance. You get on a bus and you expect certain things to happen. You expect to get safely from point A to point B. Am I right? That's basically what you expect. What you expect and what you get are not always the same thing. The guy pulls up and he gives you the crushiest look. He skids up and he gives you the crushiest look. He slams open the door. You fumble with your change. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how much it costs. He's not there to help you out. And it's like, I'm going to die. I'm just not. This guy doesn't like me. He doesn't even know me. You've all had service like that, probably. I try not to give service like that when I deliver people on the bus. But what we come to expect is, again, I want to get from point A to point B safely. I wouldn't mind a little bit of courtesy from the driver. I wouldn't mind him helping me out. But we don't always get what we expect. And so, you know, my suggestion, change routes, turn in the driver, do something different. But it's kind of like that in our service to the Lord. He has certain expectations of each one of us. My question is, what is he getting? Is he getting what is really our reasonable service? Does he ask anything beyond reason? I mean, that's ridiculous. Come on. God doesn't expect me to do that, does he? Well, let's find out. If you take your Bibles, you can be turning to anywhere you want until you turn to Romans 12, chapter verse 1. I've got some scripture before that. But you can turn to Romans 12, 1 while I share some other scripture with you. The goal that I'd like to do this morning is talk about what makes up our reasonable service and see how close we are to it, how close we come to it, or how far away we are from it. And then, what are you going to do about it? All right. Actually, we will start with Romans 12, 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. There's nothing wrong with it. So before we pursue the text any further, I do want to share some things with you. I want us to consider some things which characterizes heaven. When you think of heaven, do you think there's going to be a little bit of worship going on in heaven? Certainly there is. If you take your Bibles and go to the last book of the Bible, that would be Revelation. Go to Revelation, the 5th chapter. And let's see what John said when he wrote about heaven. Some of the things he said, he wrote about heaven in the 5th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Revelation 5, 11 and 12. Says this. It says, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What do you suppose they were doing? They were praising God. What are they offering up praises? The angels and the living creatures and the elders saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. They were worshiping. They were doing their reasonable service. Now, the word worship is derived from an old word, worship. Worship. Worthy of it. He's worthy of worship. Worship. And it means to ascribe worth to God. To consider him as worthy of value. The ultimate value for our lives, and in some way to express to him our sense of his worth and his value to us. Now that is worship or worship. There's a value placed upon this. This is God we're talking about. And the elders and the creatures and all that were praising God, were offering up their reasonable service to God. Worthy of the land to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing is all talking about God. And certainly he is worthy of our worship, isn't he? He is. He certainly is. Now drop down to verse 14 of Revelation 5. It says this, then the four living creatures said, amen. What does amen mean? I agree. It doesn't mean the sermon's over. Don't get your hopes up yet. Not yet. You say amen a little bit later on. But I agree. Or so be it. And we're talking about what happened before. In 5:14, and the 24 elders fell down and says, worship him who lives forever and ever. They fell down. And he worshiped him. I see an awful lot of reverence. I see an awful lot of respect. I see something that you know, amazes us. This is an awesome God that we're talking about. And they fell down and they worshiped him. And I'm thinking, man, how many are here? How many are in heaven today? Same question. None of us are there. So that means we're still in earth. So we're talking about worship in heaven, right? Get ready for it, because, you know, we're headed that direction. But while we're here on this earth, there are some things that we need to do. We need to consider what should our reasonable service be while we're here on this earth. Because we're going to be here, hopefully, purposely, God grant it, a long time. Believe me, you want to be. You will want to be. And if you're serving the Lord with joy and worshiping him as you should, it won't seem like long enough. But a long time we want to be. So the Bible is clear that if we want our worship to be acceptable to God, we need to find out from his word what it says about worship. What it means to worship. How are we to conduct ourselves? How are we to worship? What is the acceptable form of worship? I remember a Bible example back in Genesis. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but in the fourth chapter, two brothers. I mean, the earth had just been created, right? Two brothers, who, Cain and Abel, worship God. Didn't they both worship God? Yes, they did. But there's a problem. One of them worshiped God. This is not the problem. This is the good part. One of them worshiped God, which was acceptable. He worshiped God like God said. That was who? Abel. Abel was the one. Now Cain, on the other hand, did not worship God as God had instructed. And so what happened? He got mad. It says you have to turn there, but if you want to, I'll just read it real quickly. Genesis 4:4, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, doing it right in verse 5, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So what did Cain do? It says, so Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. He went past the stage of pouting. He was mad. Now, was God unfair in his expectations of both of his brothers? No, he wasn't. He says, this is what you should do. This is what Abel did. This is not what Cain did. Cain was wrong. God told him so. And it made him mad. So mad that he murdered his brother. All God wanted was to be worshipped in the proper manner, which was their reasonable service. So again, let's read our text, or let's think of our text, Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, listen to it in a couple different renderings. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, pretty much the same, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Brothers and sisters, in view of all that we have just shared about God's compassion, I encourage you to offer your bodies a living sacrifice dedicated to God and pleasing to him. This kind of worship is appropriate to you. For this reason, I make a request to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you will give your bodies as a living offering, holy, pleasing to God, which is the worship that is right for you to give to him. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your intelligent service. I like that one, intelligent. Kind of leaves me out, but I can still worship the Lord. All right, the intelligent service. And then one more, I call upon you, therefore, brethren, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a sacrifice, living, sanctified, acceptable to God, your intelligent service. So the whole idea there is what? There's a right, a proper, and a reasonable way to serve the Lord. And He has ideas, He has desires for us to do. Now, all of them are conveyed in the same thought. First, there's an urging to the believer, to the Christian. There's an urging. Second, there's the mercy of God that is mentioned. Third, there's a sacrifice that's mentioned. I think sometimes we forget that part, the sacrifice. I said yesterday about Christians who are on the clock. They punch in, and they punch out, and that's it. I'm putting my time, glory to be God, and bless me on the way out. That's not a sacrifice. You sacrifice more for your personal jobs than you do in your service to the Lord. That's not Christianity. That's not reasonable. What all I'm here for is the collective spiritual paycheck, and then when that guy up front gets tased, I'm out of here. That's not the way it should be. All right, so there's a sacrifice. Sometimes you forget what the sacrifice is. The fourth thing from that scripture, the holiness of the sacrifice is mentioned. The fifth thing is stated that in doing so, it will be the acceptable worship or reasonable worship as a part of the Christian's worship. It's that simple. As Paul writes here about reasonable worship, the idea of service is the idea of reasonable worship. I beseech you, brothers, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. So the word service is used several times, and we're going to go this time to the book of Hebrews, the ninth chapter. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1. Hebrews 9 and verse 1. So then indeed even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. And then it goes on. But the idea that I want to bring out is it calls it divine service. You put that phrase divine in front of it, it means a little bit more. It kind of fills it out a little bit more. Divine service. The writer of Hebrews is describing the worship that God had ordained in connections with the ordinances under the law of Moses for the people of Israel. And going back there, this is what they had to do. We're going to find out that in verse 1, Paul is talking about the earthly sanctuary, referring to the tabernacle and wilderness, the temple later on, which stood there in the center of Jerusalem, where the worship of Israel was continually carried out. Back then, if a person wanted to worship, an Israelite person, a person of the, in Israel wanted to worship the Lord, he could do it in just any way that he desired. He couldn't do it that way. He couldn't do it in any place that he desired. God had prescribed the reasonable service, acceptable way for them to worship Him. And the Israelite had to obey or be guilty of breaking the covenant. This is the way it's done. This is the way you need to do it. This is, and it's kind of turned into tradition, but the fact is, an Israelite, they had to go to a particular city. A lot of times. What is that city? Well, the major one was Jerusalem. They had to go to a particular city, to a particular building, the temple. They had to be concerned with certain furniture, furnishings in the temple. Certain relics had to be present. Certain rituals had to be performed. And the proper sacrifices had to be offered. The Israelite worshiper then had to be concerned about also a certain priesthood, certain days of the calendar when he could worship, certain yearly cycles of feasts, and the weekly Sabbaths. Now the manner of performing all these things had to be strictly carried out. Had to be carried out in the way that he said. Why? Because God said, this is your reasonable service. This is where it should be done. This is where I want it carried out. It's what God commanded. Does God anybody argue with when he gives us anything, a command or a suggestion even? Is he anybody to be argued with? If so, I say, who do you think you are? Who are we that we think we're mighty enough to argue with God? I don't want to take the chance. The Pharisees did, but he condemned them. He said, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. He put them in their place, didn't he? So they tried. But I wouldn't want that last name. A hypocrite. I wouldn't want that name. So, there are those who did. They were wrong. They tried to prescribe, or they tried to stick to the tradition, but they also, that's a whole other story. We'll put that up in the back of my mind for later on. But the fact is, though, that God had commanded them to do at a certain place, certain time, certain things, certain priesthood. So all these had to be carried out. God said to do so. So the writer of Hebrews, the second chapter, he continues to describe what worship of God is, how it's commanded. He walks us through the tabernacle, the two rooms, the holy place, the holy of holies, the two veils, various things like that. He gives a detailed description. We won't go there. Verses 2 through 5, he talks about the various things that are there in the worship of God. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, I don't see those things here. Well, they're missing. And don't get me wrong. You guys are in the right. You're okay here. That stuff we don't have anymore, do we? We don't need that anymore. You will see it in other churches, not bodies of Christ, but you'll see some of these relics in other churches, some of the specific furnishings in other churches. But it's not something that is recommended. It's not required today. All right, let's go on to Hebrews 9, verses 6 and 7, unless that's the one I wanted to skip. 6 and 7, let's go to Hebrews 9, 6 and 7. It talks about the priests there. They were prepared, the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services, but in the second part, the Holy of Holies, the high priest went in alone. One person went in alone. How often? Once a year. Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins he committed in ignorance. So again, I don't know, this might be our once a year gathering here. Not, it's not. Obviously, we meet like this every Lord's Day. It was a complex system that the people of Israel had to follow. It was, in my opinion, and I'm not, let's don't go with my opinion. Let's move on. I was going to give you something I thought, who cares? All right. Okay, I'll give you a little bit. I wouldn't want to have to be the one up here slaughtering the sacrifices. That's what I was trying to say. No, not me. Got too weak of a stomach for that. All right, let's go on. I knew there was a reason why I didn't want to bring that up. All right, complex undertaking, but that's how God said, worship Him. Do these things, carry this out. And they did it. They did it. As complicated as it seems, as it may have been, as hard to understand as it is for us, it's a very unique system that they had. But stop and think about it. It was a very unique God that they served. What other God could demand such a sacrifice such a service even as they did back in the Old Testament times? What other God could have done that? But our God, a God alone, He and He only could do that. So God, wanting to have fellowship with His people, He was providing a way of access to them through the high priest, through the once a year, through the calendars of events, various things like that. Just as He had explained, just as He had demanded. The fellowship was limited. Of course, that took quite a long period of time. But again, that was all a part of their reasonable worship. That was all a part of it. Now let me ask you this today. This is what I get to. How many of you brought the goat with you this morning? Now wait before you talk. Is that right here beside me? No. A goat, a calf, a turtle dove even, a pigeon. See, that saved in Bookham. Nobody, how come? First of all, you just found out I'm not going to slaughter it for you. Second of all, we don't slaughter animals. You don't slaughter animals here, do you? Maybe for the barbecue, but I'm talking about church service. All right, no, we don't do that stuff anymore. And I praise God that we don't. Because I don't like, did you catch, I don't like that. I wouldn't want to do that. If it was required, I would. Praise God, though, it's not required anymore. All right, so, doesn't he say, praise, no bulls, no goats, no anything, no living animals there. But you're going to find out you better brought some kind of sacrifice this morning. You're going to find that out in a little bit. All right. So what? Ask yourself this question. I will ask you, all right? What is your reasonable service today? How does God want and expect you to worship Him today? Not what does God want my mate to do. Not what does God want my neighbor to do. Not what does God want the person across the aisle to do. what does God want me to do? You notice in that scripture there in Romans 12:1? Let's emphasize a little bit. I beseech who? I beseech you. Therefore, brethren and sisters, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You see how personal that is? Yours. This time, believe it or not, it is all about you. A lot of times it's all, no it's not. This time it is, as far as this goes, it's all about you because it's your reasonable service. Now, don't get me wrong, there are certain things we as parents or leaders can do to help others in their Christian walk, but in the end, it's ultimately going to be their decision, your personal decision. You aren't going to get to heaven because you had godly parents. That will help. But you can have godly parents and go to hell if you don't do your reasonable service. So it doesn't count. You have to make this personal. This is your reasonable service. I think that's interesting, the way that's brought out. It's very personal. Now you remember, and we're going to shift it a little bit here. Do you remember what Peter said to the Lord in the last book of John? Fishing all night, and the Lord is cooking, and Jesus said, you know, do this. And Peter, what'd he do? Peter turns and said, kind of referring to John, as Jesus said, well, Lord, what about him? What did the Lord say? In my own words, mind your own business. Take care of Peter first. This is you we're talking about. If I and so forth, that's up to me, but you, take care of yourself. Let's not do that. What about John across the aisle or whatever? Let's make it personal, myself, your worship is all about you. So there in the 12th chapter of Romans, we see a full set of instructions with practical aspects of the Christian life, the way we should be living. And it's interesting to note that Paul deals with worship. He's writing in light of the change. Now, this is something maybe you don't comprehend, or it took me a while to comprehend, that these guys that he was talking to were going through a major change. They had been used to this worship. They had been used to the slaughter of animals. It was still going on in the days that the Bible was, what we have in the Bible now, this history part of the Bible, still going on. Now you're telling me after several thousands of years that we don't need to sacrifice, and we don't need the high priest and all the holies and all that? So it was a mind change for them. They had to realize, and so it took a while to convert them out of that. So there's a major change that they had to take. We don't have to face that. Now, if you come into the Church of Christ from another body of Christ, you may see that things are done different here, but they're done according to the Bible, the way that the pattern that we have there in the New Testament. So there's a change that they had to go through. They were not instructed to imitate Israel's worship, are we? Yeah, go do the animal thing. Go do the once a year thing. Have this little holy, have this little box up here where supposedly the presence of God is. It's not like that. There's another box up here with Aaron's rod in it, or the pot of manna and all that other stuff, because that was then, this is now. That was their reasonable service. Yours and mine is different today. So we need to make sure that we know that and do that. It says in Romans, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So the huge change took on a meaning for these guys. He says, I beseech you to do this. Now, when he says that in chapter 12, he's kind of referring back, if you want to go back to Romans 11, chapter verses 30 and 31, he says, for as you, which would be the Gentiles, Romans 11, 30 and 31, for as you Gentiles were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their Israel's disobedience, even so those, the Jews, also have not been disobedient, that through the mercy shown to you, they also may obtain mercy. Let me ask you this today. If a Jew was here in the assembly, could he not get right with the Lord if he did things the way the Bible says so today? He could, couldn't he? Just as you and I, who made the change to get right with the Lord. So it's not like you're a Jew, you have no chance to get right. If you choose to get right and do it the way that God says, you have a chance to get right. So it's still open to them. But because the Jews pretty well denied the idea, they were left kind of in the dark, and so they had to do something about it. God says, do it this way. Those that changed became a part of the early church. Those that didn't, Romans 11, 15 says they were cast away. All right. Ephesians, the third chapter, moving on quickly to Ephesians 3, 1 and 2. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which was given to me for you. Again, kind of opening it up. Here it is. Here it is. It's for you. Today our worship of God does not consist of going to a particular building, a particular place, having these particular sacrifices, various things like that. But just as their worship back then was supposed to be a priority for them, it has to be a priority for us today. If your worship today, coming here today, was not a priority, ask my family, do I like to be late? No. Don't ask them. Don't ask them. I'll tell you. Because they'll tell you. The same thing. No. I don't like to be late. I like to be there on time. It's a priority. We need to make it a priority. You don't have to make it as far early of a priority as I do. But that's fine. You're not. My family's slowly learning to, I think I'm converting them. But the fact is, a priority needs to be a priority. Yeah, you know what? The saints are needed today. I want to be there. I need to be there. I must be there. That's my acceptable worship. God says, do it. Who am I to argue with God? Yeah, I could sleep in today as well as anybody else can. But you know what? That's a sacrifice, if you consider it a sacrifice. I'm going to give that up. After all, that's not much. Now, if there's a game or something, or my job or something like that, I would have been, I probably would have been right about now. I'm about ready to start my second shift. So I can make, and I'm not bragging on myself, it's a part of you do the same thing. About now, you'd be getting ready for lunch break at your job because you've been up for hours. You would do it for work. Why can't you make that same sacrifice for the Lord? The payoff is so much better than what you get to stuff your wallet. The treasure that you have that you can take home with you, your heavenly home is so much better. Why not make that sacrifice? All right, here's the illustration. A man went into, he talks about how he once went to an open house of a local Catholic church. He states that after a complete tour of the building, church building, we ended up in front of the main altar. The ceiling stood above our heads. We stood on slabs of white marble. Before us was an arrangement of statued saints with contrasting marble columns, gold accents, and candles. It was very impressive, he says. Says one person in our tour group then asked the priest, a young man fresh out of seminary, why do you do this? Why all this gold and marble and extravagance of architecture? The young priest was quite candid as responded, we do this to give people a sense of awe, to give them the feeling of coming into the presence of God. It's special when you walk through the doors of this building. It's like a little corner of heaven. It's psychological. He ends by saying, and we might add, it's quite effective. But this question is my question. Is it acceptable? What's the purpose of all that? To glorify who? Yeah, I don't know. Not what they're trying to say, a piece of heaven. No. A piece of somebody's wallet or something like that, but it's not for that purpose. Paul is talking about something that was so much more special than make anything that he talks about here, that he took a tour through, pale in comparison. He was talking about the altar of your heart. He was talking about your spiritual service, your reasonable service. Colossians, the third chapter, verse 17 says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, to God the Father. Whatever you do, our worship is 365 days a year, isn't it? 24 hours a day. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just punch in, punch out. It better not be. It has to be reasonable service. And that's not asking anything that you cannot accomplish, that you cannot handle, that I cannot handle. Come serve me. Come meet with me. Come meet with the saints. Come fellowship. Come hear my word while you are also getting this at home and at other places. But come together. That's reasonable, isn't it? That's not ridiculous. That's reasonable. We need to make sure that we are, I won't talk too long about this, but you know the problem with the living sacrifice? They would crawl off the altar. If you didn't, they'd put them on as a living sacrifice. They killed them. There was the shedding of blood. They killed them. They didn't crawl off. The only way they came off was on the tongs of some kind of fork or something, or they were totally a burnout. Problem when we put our lives on as a living sacrifice, sometimes we just kind of crawl off the altar and walk away, drag ourselves away.
there to be a complete sacrifice, fully consumed by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, fully consumed in our worship. That is reasonable. Romans the 6th chapter talks about you're buried with him through baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk, what? In newness of life. Present yourselves to God as a being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. What kind of instrument are you? Are you reasonable, acceptable instrument even? We need to be. We have to be. We must be. We need to be. Ephesians the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2 says, make sure that you are a sweet smelling aroma, a sacrifice to God, which is a sweet smelling aroma. If we're committed to serve the Lord, we're going to be acceptable. We're going to search out if you don't already know, and I know most of you already know what you're reasonable, what is expected of you. It's only reasonable. You can find it in God's Word. If you are not doing the reasonable sacrifice, you need to be this morning. This morning, I thought it was neat. This, I was looking for a song, what can I use for closing? How about the heart of worship? Oh, we're already doing that in our worship service. Praise the Lord, good, good, good. How about the next one, which is... Here I am to worship. That's what we're going to close with this morning. I thought, how, you know, maybe they read the title in the bulletin, but how did they know that I wanted those two songs? Well, I told them one, but the other they already had in there. And I was moved when we talked about worship. Our acceptable worship. It pleases me to see people worship the Lord in the way that He wants us to. And that's what we should do. What are you doing? What are you going to do if you're not serving God in a reasonable way? You know what's reasonable. Just from that little bit I gave you here, you know what's reasonable. You know what's right. You know what God expects of you. If what He's getting, what He expected. Or is He getting something else? This throwaway, disposable. We don't have a disposable God. We don't have disposable service. So we need to have reasonable service. That's what we should do. You have one life, and then what? Then it's over. Then we don't have a chance to get reasonable. You need to be reasonable while we're here on this earth serving the Lord. If you're not this morning, we're going to sing a song. We're going to have it this morning. We're going to have the musicians come up, and we're going to consider, you know, here I am to what? To worship. Not just today, not just here. It is all about you. You need to be reasonable in your worship. Is that too hard to do? Anybody think it's too hard to do? It's not. You know what? We need to check ourselves out and say, how do I compare to what the Bible says? How do I measure up? Where do I fit in? Is God pleased? Am I following what He says to do? Reasonable service. That's what we're talking about. Here I am to worship. This morning I want you to stand. We're going to sing this song here. If you have a need, want to make a need, want to make your life right, if you don't come see me, see somebody else. Do things that you need to do to get things right. And let's sing this song this morning. We'll turn it over to the musicians.